Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and our bi-weekly visit. Is that correct? Every other week, bi-weekly? Fortnightly? Yeah. I don't know what it is. A clinical psychologist, best-selling author, Dr. John Duffy, friend of the show. Thank you for being here, John.
Thanks for having me here.
We had talked, or I had mentioned briefly, you and Bill were talking about this 13 Reasons Why last time you were here.
Yeah.
I had never heard of it. So I looked it up. It's a Netflix original series. I started binge watching it. Bertrand mentioned that it was a book. My kids must have been at that age where they missed the book.
Yeah.
But why didn't I hear anything about it?
You know, one thing, I was wondering the same thing, because I heard about it from kids in my office, one after another after another. And I was thinking, well, I watch Netflix shows. Why am I not seeing this pop up in their ads and things? And I learned that the primary way that they were marketing this was through social media, Instagram, Snapchat. So this was, I think, intended for young people to see, not necessarily for people in our generation to see. That's one of the biggest problems I have with it. You know, I think it's a really well done, kind of juicy show plot wise. I get why kids are way into it and are binge watching it. But to take the parents out of the dialogue is a problem to me, you know, because I think it presents this enormous opportunity to talk and to watch with your kids and talk about, like, okay, so let's talk about this sexual assault thing. Let's talk about this teen suicide thing. Let's talk about how these people relate to their parents. Is this what we want for ourselves? So it brings up a lot of good questions. And the good news is it works. We're all talking about
it.
You know? Yeah.
John, explain this to me. I read an article 2 days ago. Now, I only saw the first episode. Watched the first episode and I thought it looks fine, but I don't need to see the rest.
Right.
There was an article I read the other day that said that in the writer's belief, he thinks that adults should be watching this show and not kids. Why would he take that stance? What's going on that he thinks that that's the way to watch it?
It might be a nod toward, this is a way to guide your kids to work with each other when it comes to these serious issues.
Yeah.
I actually don't. I'll disagree a little bit. I don't mind the fact that kids are watching this thing. You know, what I mind is that they're having these kind of like these parties where they're binge watching it together. Or most kids, if you think about it, have access to Netflix on their phone.
Sure.
Or on an iPad or on their computer. So they're not watching it on a big TV in the living room. They're watching it alone. And I worry about those one or two vulnerable kids out there who find that, like, ooh, you know, maybe I feel a little vengeful. Maybe I'm susceptible to that. Maybe I feel like Hannah does in those moments before she takes her life.
Does it glorify teen suicide in any way?
I don't think so. I think that's a misnomer. I don't think kids are quite so suggestible.
Yeah.
Otherwise, to be honest, we would have seen a bunch of copycats at this point.
When did this come out?
About 2.5 weeks ago or so.
But there is an element of copycat suicide, not because of this show, but that does exist in the teen world, where if one kid sadly should kill themselves, you do have to watch other kids around them.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. In obituaries, they're really careful not to talk suicide,
yeah.
You know, so not to suggest to kids, you know, that this is a method that you should consider if you're feeling down. So there are these rashes, and usually the way we kind of intervene is by silence. And that's a problem I have, because when we don't talk about it, and, you know, we make it taboo in our households that we're not going to talk about depression and suicide and anxiety and all this stuff, which happens in a lot of houses with kids I work with, then it all becomes taboo. And these kids suffer in silence until they get to a point where they're desperate. And, you know, and sometimes that's, on occasion, that's too late, but oftentimes it becomes a bigger problem in their minds than it needs to be, period. Yeah.
The gist of it is Hannah Baker is in high school, and she is bullied, sometimes in terrible ways, sometimes just minimal, that all kids get, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she decides to take her life, and the 13 reasons why, she puts together audio tapes, and it goes out to 13 people who are, in a way, responsible for her death.
Hannah feels it's responsible, right?
Yes.
Right.
And good point there.
Yeah. Right.
So someone who is vulnerable will see that, and it doesn't glorify suicide, but hopefully you'll see when you're gone how these people are suffering, and that might help prevent you from taking your own life.
Right. And
seeing the other side of it.
Exactly. No, that's a really good point. And somebody in my office brought up a good point the other day where she said, I hope I didn't do anything a year ago or 2 years ago that would cause somebody to make a cassette. You know, so kids are kind of thinking about, like, I should probably treat people better. I should really be thoughtful about how I treat people, because I don't want to get the cassette tape ever. You know,
right.
so whether the message is a bit of a fallacy, because having done this job for more than a couple of decades, I've never run into anything like this where suicide was a vengeful act, you know, and, you know, you people are the toxin to me. Usually it's I'm the toxin to you people, you know. But if it draws a little more kindness and a little more understanding from the kids around somebody who's suffering, all the better. You know, that's another thing I kind of like about the theme of the show.
Yeah.
Rachel wants to jump in. Hi, Rachel. We're talking with Dr. John Duffy. Your thoughts on 13 Reasons Why?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, I watched it and I thought it did a really good job on addressing how teens treat each other, but I don't think there was enough focus on, ultimately, it was her choice, that it's their choice to take their life. And I think I had to explain that, because last year our school had a suicide and they were trying to blame. And I said, ultimately, it was their choice. And I think that you need to focus on that a little more.
That's a really important point, actually, Rachel. You know, so many kids, you know, so we get these rashes of suicides in certain high schools. We heard some things about Naperville North a couple of weeks ago, but certainly that school does not stand alone. That just happened to be the focus of an investigation. But a lot of kids feel awfully guilty, and they think through, like, boy, is this my fault? Is there something I could have done? So it creates this pathology in all these other kids. And in the end, right, this is, we don't know exactly what's happening with that child in that family in the moments before they take their life, but it certainly isn't something that we can lay at the feet of another child. And that's a fallacy that the show kind of really creates a bedrock for, and it is absolutely not true. So I think your point that it is their choice and you are not the problem, I think that's a really important thing for kids to hear. Really, really important point.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel.
Yep, bye-bye.
Plus, it does expose, I was shocked at some of the behavior. I know it's a television show.
Yeah.
But it's like, God, am I glad I'm out of high school.
What sort of behavior were
just,
they showing?
It's jerkier than when I was in high school.
So it's the way the kids treated this girl, Hannah?
They treat everybody.
Yeah.
And it still holds true where you have the jocks, you have the nerds. You know, that was always the case. But it just seems like this is a pathetically miserable school to be involved in.
And it's not that far from real life. I mean, so those cliques still exist. That's very true. Kids are a little more understanding now of differences and things like that. But social media creates this. It's almost like road rage, where, you know, you're one step removed from this person next to you, so you feel comfortable like flipping the bird or something like that, right? So social media gives kids permission to kind of bully in what appears to be absentia, right? I'm not looking at this kid's face, so I'm going to, you know, write something really nasty on this post or something like that. And this is devastating to kids, and it's super public, you know what I mean? Like, because kids are checking social media constantly. So it's another element we didn't have to deal with, but I don't want to minimize the impact. And the show touches on it pretty well, you know, that this is a big part of their lives, and it really, really is. You know, I always ask kids, what's the first thing you're going to do when you step out the threshold of a classroom or my office or your house? Well, I'm going to check my phone. I'm going to check social media right away to see how many likes I got or see if anybody said anything mean about me, and do damage control if I have to.
So how do you convey to a kid, and let me change that, how do you convey to anyone, because adults have that same issue, I think, as kids, how do you let them know that in the scheme of things, that's nowhere near as important as you want to think it is?
Yeah.
Good luck with that, Bill.
Right. It's really tricky, because if you remember 16, you know, I'm working right now with, it's prom season, right?
Yeah.
And there's been drama for the last couple of weeks in my office, you know, and a lot of parents are saying, it's just one night, who cares?
Right.
But if you remember, when you're that age, that one night means everything. It's your whole life, and you don't have the scope of, you know, well, 10 years from now, that's not really going to matter a whole lot.
Of course.
Yeah. So it's difficult. Right. I mean, I think you have to meet your kids where they are and really acknowledge, like, I get that this is a big deal to you.
Right.
I think it's fair to say, one day I promise you it won't be, but I get that this sucks.
Yeah.
You know, I get that this is really hard.
Yeah. That's a good way of phrasing it.
Yeah.
We'll continue with Dr. John Duffy. You can get his book, The Available Parent. You can go to his website, which is drjohnduffy.com, or you can continue listening and jump in 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. Dr. John Duffy is here, and we are talking about 13 reasons why. Megan has called us, 312-981-7200. Megan, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. I have an 18-year-old daughter who, throughout her teenage years, has struggled with self-injuring and suicidal thoughts and has had an attempt. So she and I were talking about it, and she had a kind of an interesting insight on the show. She has watched the show. I have not. I read the book a while back, but I haven't watched the Netflix show yet. And she said that she thought it was interesting that they had, I guess, that for they had put a warning at the beginning of it because for some like sexually explicit material. And but her feeling was she thought that they should have warnings for the for more of the emotional stuff, for like the self-injuring and the suicide, because she thought that that could be, in her experience, those could be really significant triggers for kids who are dealing with some of these things.
John, what do you think?
Well, thanks for being so forthcoming about what your family's going through, Megan. And your daughter is 100% right, to the extent that there has been a lot of media attention on that very issue. And Netflix has put on now the suicide hotline on the front of those episodes and a couple other resources because they've been criticized for that very thing. So you are absolutely onto something. And I think you're right. And it feels like a real blind spot to me that they didn't do that right off the bat, right?
Yeah.
Because like, absolutely, like the sexual awareness and the sexual assault issue is prominent in the show. And I'm glad they addressed that, but that they missed on the front end that we should talk about, like the suicide hotline and what do you do if you're feeling desperate. That's a little lost on me, and I'm glad they finally gone about correcting that.
Yeah, and I think that, again, as a parent who's kind of lived through a lot of this over the last years, I think that is probably some of the conversation, because the self-injuring is just so prevalent right now. It's terrifying and heartbreaking, and I think that and I think a lot of parents are not aware of it. So I guess I just, would say, in addition to the suicide, that, the parents kind of open up the conversations with the self-injuring too, because I think that there are a lot of kids who are struggling with that and their parents are not, it's not even on their radar.
Right.
For me, self-injury was not even on my radar.
And it's terrifying, right? When you hear that this is something your child is doing, it's a terrifying thing and you don't know what to do about it. So you're right. Resources for that as well. How did your daughter fare watching it? Was she okay?
She was. And she said that fortunately, she is kind of like on the other side of all of that stuff now. So she has not had the suicidal thoughts and the self-injury feelings for I would say at least 2 years. So she said for her it wasn't a trigger. But looking back, if she had watched this 2 or 3 years ago, it would have been a huge trigger for her with the self-injury in particular, when she was like really in it. But again, now we're lucky that we're kind of have moved to the other side of that chapter.
Well, good luck and continued good luck with your daughter,
Megan.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing, because we really appreciate it. I have my high schooler senior. I said, Michael, have you watched yet? He said, not yet, but I'm aware of it, going to watch it. I have an eighth grader who I haven't brought it up to yet, but I kind of want to, and say, have you heard about this? You want to watch it with me?
I think it's a great idea. I encourage parents to watch it with even down to fifth and sixth grade. Very young kids are watching this thing because they have access to it, And so if you think your 12-year-old or 11-year-old is unaware of this or isn't watching it or, doesn't get it, They do. They're well aware, and your attention to it is only going to help. So yeah, I would encourage you to watch it with Dylan.
And it's a perfect situation after you watch the show to casually have a discussion. You can easily break out a discussion about what you just saw.
In fact, parents are always asking, like, you know, I'm always looking for an in to talk to some of this stuff because I'm uncomfortable talking to my kids about some of these things. This show gives you ample opportunity to touch on almost every big discussion you have to have with your kids.
Yeah.
And even if you don't watch it together, because I'm thinking my kids would probably watch it on their phone on their own, but you can say, you know, hey, are you caught up yet? I want to talk about, it's still a conversation starter, even if you don't watch it together.
It's a big time commitment for one thing. So even if you don't watch it together, read about it and be aware of it and know the themes of it so you know what questions to ask. And, you know, and there's plenty out there that'll guide you through that. So absolutely, it's not mandated that you watch it in order to get it.
John, thanks a lot. Appreciate it as always. If people want to hear your podcast, they want to go to WGN Plus.
Right? Absolutely.
That's the way to do it.
A New Anxiety is the name of it. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's always good. And then your book, The Available Parent, wherever books are sold.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, John.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It. A quick break, some news, and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.